We've been talking the last couple of days about some of the issues revolving around the fact that we had no Erev this week. So one very major misconception that many people had was with regard to Ketanim. When you have young children and there is no functioning Erev, are we allowed to ask our children to carry things on our behalf or perhaps not? The background to that issue is as follows. We have in three different places in Chumash where we are told the halacha of lahazir gedolim al haktanim, which means not only we as adults have to make sure that we don't violate an avera, but we also have to ensure that our children do not violate an avera. One of them is in Parshas Emor, when we're told about the prohibition against consuming blood. One is not allowed to eat blood or drink blood. So the pasuk says over there, kol nefesh mikem lo sochal dam, any soul of the Jewish community is not allowed to drink or consume blood. Says Rashi there in the name of Chazal, Lahazir Gedolim Al Haktanim, which means not only am I not allowed to as an adult, but I'm not allowed to facilitate my young child doing that either. We find it yet a second place where we're told in Parshas Amor about the halachos that govern the life of a Kohen, that he's not allowed, L'nefesh lo yitame ba'amav, he's not allowed to go and defile himself by going to a funeral. Says the Gemara that that means, Amar la Kohanim, means not only to the Kohanim who are adults, but also to the Kohanim who are children. We have an obligation to make sure that they keep to the law as well. And finally, we are told by Parsha Shmini, when we're told about all the various items, the shrutzim, that one is not allowed to consume. So over there, the Torah says, once again, lo ye'achelu, they are not allowed to be eaten. And there, Chazal say, lechayiv es ha'ma'achil al niktanim, that we're not allowed to give it to adults or children. Both of them are included. What kind of child do we refer to when the Torah says you have to ensure that not only adults don't violate the Aver, but even children? How old does the child have to be for us to be concerned? That is a major point of debate amongst the Rishonim. So the Rashba writes in Maseches Yevamos that over here we're discussing a katan shehigia lechinuch. We're talking about a child who is old enough to have an understanding of what the basic principle of the mitzvah is that we're referring to. Ask the Rashba, if that's true, why do we need a separate pasuk to teach us that you're not allowed to feed the child non-kosher food? Doesn't chinuch dictate that you're not allowed to feed that to him? So why do we need a separate halacha that teaches me this on top of the law of chinuch? Says the Rashba very simply, because we have a rule of chinuch which only obligates us to make sure that our children perform positive commandments, to do the mitzvah saseh. So a parent has an obligation when the child becomes old enough to teach the child about tzitzis and to teach a child about making brachos and all the different things that we proactively do in our service to God. That, says the Rashba, is all under the category of chinuch. However, he says, what about abstaining? What about teaching my child not to violate an avera? That really doesn't fall under the category of chinuch. And therefore, says the Rashba, this is why the Torah has to go out of its way to teach us that there as well we have a separate obligation of Lahazir gedola malaktanim. That is the opinion of the Rashba. Now, if you stop there, it means that all that we're discussing only applies to a child who is 7, 8, 9 years old, who's old enough to have an understanding as to what it is that we're teaching them. But if I have a child who's younger than that, who doesn't really know the difference between this food item and that food item, maybe it's younger than 7, whatever it might be, but if you have a 3-year-old who really doesn't know the difference at all, so I would say, according to the Rashba, you have a right to feed them non-kosher food, you have a right to give them, you don't have to stop them if they're doing something wrong. That's the opinion of the Rashba. However, the Bali Atosas disagree, and the Bali Atosas feel that no, chinuch means you have an obligation to teach a child from a certain age. This pasuk teaches us that when you have a child who's younger than that age, you have an obligation, even if they might not understand, you have an obligation to make sure they don't violate any averus under your watch. That is the opinion of the Bali Atosas, and that is the way the Rama paskins as well in Arachaim Simen Shin Mem Gimel. Now, that is all with regard to regular averus in the Torah. What about when we talk about Hilchos Shabbos? So in Hilchos Shabbos, we find yet a reiteration of this halacha as well. As we know in the Aseres Hadibros, we're told, Lo Sasa Kol Malacha, we are not allowed to do any malacha on Shabbos. Ata, Uvincha, Uvitecha. So what does it mean? I'm not allowed to do any malacha, and my son and my daughter. Of course, my son and my daughter are not allowed to do malacha. They're Jewish people. The same way I, as an adult, am not allowed to do, so my children who are adults also are not allowed to do. So what does it mean? Ata uvincha uvitecha explains the Gemara that we assume that that includes even my young children. Not only do I have to make sure as an adult that I don't violate Shabbos, but I have to make sure that my children, even when they're young children, do not violate the laws of Shabbos either. And therefore, Rashi says on Chumash, from here the Gemara derives that if you have a, you know, something happening on Shabbos, if you have a child who's about to go and cook something on Shabbos, we have an obligation to tell the child not to do that. Very often we have a mistaken impression. We think if the light is off in our home on Shabbos, we can just take our little child and put him up to the light and have them turn the light on. That is not correct. You're not allowed to do that. And in fact, Rashi writes, quoting the Gemara, that we have to stop a child who's doing it. You cannot, certainly can encourage the child to do it. Many assume that you also have to stop the child from doing that as well. So there's a discussion as to why it is that we need a separate limud. Why do we need to learn this once again with regard to the laws of Shabbos if we already know this principle from everywhere else that the Gemara says, where we're told you have to make sure your child doesn't eat non-kosher food, you have to make sure your child doesn't consume any blood, you have to make sure your child, if he's a Kohen, does not violate the laws of Tumas Kohanim. So why do we need another pasuk to teach us by the laws of Shabbos? That is a very good question, but we don't have enough time in this short shiur to get into that that basic discussion. But what you see from all of this is that we certainly have a consideration that one has to make sure not to violate any laws of the Torah, but also to ensure that your children do not violate the laws of the Torah either. So how do we get into the discussion with regard to a child carrying without an Erev on Shabbos? That is a good question. So in Europe, the story begins as follows. In Europe, they used to have communities where there was no Erev, but on top of that, the communities really did not have a lot of money. So it's not like today where we have such wealth that we're able to have a sitter, we take it for granted, we're able to have a sitter at home, and we're also able to have a sitter in shul. They didn't have that. Every family had one sitter. So it's not like everybody knew the Kiddush by heart. They had to have the sitter at home to make Kiddush. They also needed the sitter in the shul in order to be able to daven. So how are you going to do that? Our community doesn't have an Erev, and we need to have the sitter at home to say Kiddush properly, and we need to have a sitter in shul in order to daven properly. What am I supposed to do? So many communities had the practice that they would give the sitter or the talis to the young child on Shabbos morning, even though there was no Erev, and they would give the child all of the items necessary to be brought to shul, and the child would carry it in the street without the Erev, and that is what was done. And the question ensued in the late 1700s, the beginning of the 1800s, between Rabbi Kiva Eger and all of his contemporaries, the Tiferes Yisrael and many others, the Mishkanos Yaakov, discussed the merits of this practice. Is that something that we are allowed to see and allowed to encourage? Or is this something that we absolutely must stop? Because after all, we find, with regard to many other laws, that we have an obligation to stop our children from violating any aveira in the Torah. So why would we be allowed to overlook this very blatant violation of the laws of Hotzah and Shabbos? And Rabbi Kiva Eger went into a whole major discussion about this issue. The Bir Halacha talks about it in the Mishnah Berurah as well. So there was one gadol of the time, the Eish el Avram, also in the end of the 1700s, who suggested the following. He said, look, how can I be melamed zchus on all of the Jewish communities that are doing this? I don't want to say that everyone's doing wrong. We don't like to say that. So how can I be melamed zchus? So he came up with a great chiddush, and he said, perhaps one can assume the following. Perhaps one can say, the only time I'm not allowed to have my child violate an aveira is when it's obvious to the child that he's violating an aveira. For example, my child goes and turns on a fire on Shabbos and he's about to cook something. If I'm going to let him do it, he's going to grow up and say, my father let me go and turn on a fire and cook something on Shabbos. My father let me go and turn the lights on in the house when the lights were off. He's going to remember that. So now, as a parent, you have an obligation to hold the child back from doing that, because when they get older, they're going to think that the activity that they were engaged in at that time, when you didn't protest, when you didn't stop them, is something that was permissible, and then they'll come to make a mistake when it really counts. However, writes the Eish el Avram, is one allowed to carry outside on Shabbos? The answer is no. If there's an Erev in the community, is one allowed to carry outside on Shabbos? Yes, says the Eish el Avram. When my child grows up, and he remembers, when I was a kid, I used to carry things outside all the time. He doesn't know whether or not there was an Erev. And therefore, writes the Eish el Avram, maybe we have no reason to stop our children from carrying outside without an Erev on Shabbos, because they'll never make a mistake when they grow older. When they become adults, and they start to understand the halacha that you need an Erev to carry outside, they'll say, we assume that when we were children, and this is what we did, we obviously were carrying with an Erev, otherwise our parents would have stopped us. Writes the Eish el Avram, maybe this is why many communities have the right to be makel and to allow their children. They wouldn't have done it for anything, but we're talking about a situation where it was a major shas adchak, where they didn't have a sitter at home, and also a sitter in shul that was able to assist them. So you have to figure something out, so this is why they did it. That's the Eshel Avram's argument. That was totally not accepted by any of his contemporaries at all. It's a very brilliant suggestion, but it is not at all the opinion that was accepted. So what is the rationale for many communities that used to do this? Why is it something that many communities had no problem allowing? So the rationale is as follows. The qualifications for a real Rishus HaRabim, you're not allowed to carry something outside on Shabbos. The qualifications for a real Rishus HaRabim that you're not allowed to carry in on Shabbos are very specific ones. It was like the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was a Rishus HaRabim in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Rishonim discuss it, and they say maybe only if it has 600,000 people passing through it, and maybe only if it's Tes Zayin Amma wide, if it's such a big thoroughfare, then we assume that's considered Rishus HaRabim. So the Rama says, when you put all of these factors together, he says the real truth is Ein Lanu Din Rishus HaRabim Mizman Hazeh. When you look at the structure of our regular communities that we live in today, not the big cities like Manhattan, but when we live in small communities like ours, obviously they're big ones, but we don't have thoroughfares like they have in some of the major cities. So says the Rama, we don't really encounter a real bona fide Rishus HaRabim the way it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And since that is the case, that we're not really dealing with a real bona fide Rishus HaRabim, therefore writes the Rama, there are many kulas, there are many things that we would allow today that we may not have allowed if we had a real Rishus HaRabim that we were dealing with. One of those, I would imagine, is the fact that we allow ourselves to put imaginary walls around the whole community, and that serves as an eruv for Shabbos. How can that be? How can it be? Why am I allowed to carry inside of my house? Because I'm enclosed by walls. Why am I not allowed to carry outside? Because it's an open area, it's a Rishus HaRabim. So what happens? All of a sudden I put up a string with two poles and now it becomes enclosed? How can you say that that's the same as my walls around my house? The answer is, well, since we're really only dealing with the Rishus HaRabim midirabanam mizmanazeh, this is not the real Rishus HaRabim that was described by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not the real thing that he was dealing with. So therefore we have room to argue that we could be more makel and we're allowed to put up these imaginary walls and make it as if we have walls that are surrounding us and as if we're in a gated community. That is only allowed because we're dealing with a Rishus HaRabim midirabanan, because we're dealing with something that is not the real defining characteristic of a Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, since we're only dealing with a Rishus HaRabim midirabanan today, there were many who argued that perhaps this was the rationale why we would allow the children to carry the Sidurim outside or the Talis outside, even though there is no Erev. What is the rationale? Because after all, we're dealing with an Issur Dirabanan. And there's a Machlokas HaRishonim. When we are told that we have to stop our children from violating an Avera, the Torah says if your child is eating non-kosher food, you have an obligation to stop them. If your child is going into a cemetery and he happens to be a Kohen, you have to stop him. Many Rishonim argue that maybe that only applies to an Isser D'Oraisa, when he's violating a real Avera in the Torah that the Torah says is not permissible. What about when the child is only violating an Isser D'Rabanan? Would I have an obligation to stop my child from violating an Isser D'Rabanan as well? That is a point of debate between the Rashba and the Rambam. Should we assume that that is prohibited as well? For a parent to watch their child violate an Issur D'Rabanan, do they have an obligation as a parent to stop them from doing that as well? That is a major question. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger puts this all together and he says, well, maybe you'll say that that is the rationale for the children to do what they're doing. After all, we're dealing with something which is only an Issur D'Rabanan today. The child is walking out into the street. The street is not a real Rishus HaRabim, so all he's doing is an Issur D'Rabanan, and it's B'makom Mitzvah, so therefore maybe that should be the rationale. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Eiger also points out that the only time we would allow a child to violate an Issur D'Rabanan and maybe turn a blind eye, which is not generally the accepted opinion, but the only time maybe we would consider allowing it is when the child is doing it for him or herself, when he's eating the non-kosher food. But when he's doing it specifically for the adult, when he's carrying the Siddur, not because he cares to daven and shul on Shabbos, but because he wants to make sure that I'll be able to daven and shul on Shabbos, there really would be no heter at all, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So this was a major point of debate. Again, as we mentioned, in the end of the 1700s, many, many great gedolim discussed the merits of such a point, of such a practice. Would this be something that we would allow? Or perhaps it is something that we have to insist our children don't do. So there was a question along the way, whether or not we should allow this, as we said, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that the Tiferes Yisrael, Mishkanos Yaakov, everyone else discussed it. But there is a story that is told about the Imre Emes, that apparently the Imre Emes in the 1800s, who was the son of the Sfas Emes, apparently he was walking in the street once, and there was a picture that was taken of him holding his father's strimel. So there were those who felt that obviously this must be a proof that one is allowed to carry one is allowed to have a child carry something for them on Shabbos, and that's why he was carrying his father's strimel. After all, the Hasidim only wear the strimel on Shabbos and Yontif, so it must be that that was the reason why the child was carrying it and not the adult. So some wanted to bring a proof from that. Why is it an inconclusive proof? It's inconclusive because, first of all, Hasidim also wear a strimel when there happens to be a wedding in the family. So there was a major question, what exactly is the story with that picture? Was the picture taken on a Shabbos? And if it was taken on a Shabbos, how did the Imri Amos allow them to take a picture of him on Shabbos? A whole discussion about, a whole debate about it. So Rav Asher Weiss said once that, he had known the whole debate about this picture, and he said he was speaking once in Switzerland, and he was talking about the laws of Shabbos, and he happened to mention this idea. And he said, you know, there's a whole discussion about the picture. So he said somebody jumped up and he said, I was there when the picture was taken. This person said that he was a yeshiva bachur at the time, and he said, you have all the facts wrong. He said, nobody really recorded what happened. He said, we were not in the regular community, we were in Marimbad, which was the place where they all used to go away for their vacation. And the Gerer Rebbe was concerned that if we're going to walk around with our fancy strimels in the street, it's going to cause anti-Semitism because they don't want us to be walking around in such fancy garb. So he said, I'm going to be the only one who's going to wear Big Day Shabbos. All of the Hasidim should walk around without Big Day Shabbos. And he said that that is the pshara they're going to draw, that the child is going to carry the strimel in the street so that nobody should see that he was wearing it. It should be less noticeable. Happens to be someone came along and snapped a picture of him. Something like that. This is what the guy said, that you could bring a proof from that or you can't bring a proof from that. And there are other Gerach Hasidim who say that's not really what happened. It was really, there was an occasion when there was a wedding, and that's why everybody was there. Anyway, it's an interesting point of debate, but this has been something that has been debated for many, many generations. Should we allow children to carry outside when there is no Erev on Shabbos? Because, after all, we're dealing only with an Issa D'Rabbanan, and maybe we don't have an obligation to stop our children from violating an Issa D'Rabbanan, or should we say no? Ato vincha vitecha, we have an obligation to stop children from violating any laws of the Torah, and certainly the laws of Shabbos, so maybe this is something that we have to insist, that our children do not violate either of Hanani ben Akasha.